You're listening to Iowa's Jazz Station, 88.3 KCCK. And this is Talking Pictures, our weekly review of movies and film. I'm Hollis Monroe here with Denny Lynch and Scott Christman. Denny, what have you got?
Well, I got wrapped up in the mummy film. Oh. And this is not your father's mummy film. The basic plot is there's an evil woman who was buried alive because she was evil in ancient Egypt, and now Tom Cruise has accidentally dug her up, and she's gotten a plane ride to London. You don't need a plane crash in a mummy film, but there is one here. There's lots of running around. Tom Cruise has taken over and sort of becomes a reincarnation of her lost love, sort of, but not completely. So he's fighting against it. The big problem in the film is there's nobody at all in the film to root for. In the Karloff mummy in 32, which I think is the epitome of this series, he was desperately in love with the princess, and he did something wrong because he wanted to be with her. And when he was reincarnated, he's trying to find his lost love. He's got motivation. He talks to the other characters. He has conversations. It's a slow, methodical, quiet, restrained, wonderfully creepy film. This mummy just yells at people and kills them. I mean, it's just stupid. There is a tie-in to – there are five tie-ins that I counted to the rest of the Dark Universe from Universal. Russell Crowe pops up as a medical doctor who is – he's the only guy in the film having any fun whatsoever, and it's worth seeing it just for him. There's some good moments, lots of special effects. Things get blowed up real good, but I don't think there are enough Tana leaves in this brew.
All right. Yeah. Scott, you've seen what is shaping up to be the blockbuster of this summer.
It is. I saw Wonder Woman, and honestly, going into it, I really wanted to like it a lot because there was such hype around the idea of, hey, they've made a good DC film, and everyone's very excited about it. Ultimately, I wanted to like it more. I felt like there were some good parts, there were some good elements, but it didn't quite come together. The cast is good. We recognize all the principals, and there's some good appearances by Robin Wright and some other character actor folk who do a fine job of what they're given, but they're not given much to do. Some of the effects are very good. Some of the sort of naivete of fish out of water being put into the world that she's unfamiliar with is kind of interesting. Some of it leans into a hokey sort of area, but part of that maybe you couldn't avoid. Some of the introspection in the general foolishness of war and of an unjust war, especially of confusion of why is everyone fighting, seen through an outsider's eyes is kind of interesting. And you do have some identification with her in that idea. But as concerned as she is with the destruction, she's suddenly mightily involved in creating a lot of it. So
from fish out of water to proactive.
Yes. So there's a lot of that. The cons, some of the effects don't quite feel finished, and some of the moments of editing are a bit jarring. It feels like the plot's about 80% there. And they didn't quite finish it off. And that, if you're familiar with Zack Snyder, who did the 300 movie and Man of Steel, and is heavily involved in the overall idea of the DC universe here, it's got his fingerprints all over it. He didn't direct it, but he was involved in making the story. And to me, he's starting to become the younger version of my saying for Michael Bay for many, many years has been Michael Bay, shiny, go boom. And that seems to be... Zach now is the muted colors go boom. Gosh, I wanted to like it more, but some of the dialogue's kind of uneven. There are parts where Wonder Woman delivers a spot on couple of lines and then goes into an area where the writing is just what is going on? You know, what has you done to this character in the last 5 minutes? So overall it's too long, in at about just over 2 hours and 20 minutes, somewhere in there. But a lot of cuts could have been made. There are some sequences where, played for humor, there's like the take Wonder Woman shopping and put her in dresses and things that aren't going to work for her, obviously. Yes. But that kind of stuff, there's too much.
I thought there should have been a lot more of that.
More of that, really. Wow.
Compared to what we got.
Well, compared to it, sure. But we need more character development. We got the same thing with some of the Snyder writing, is you get one-dimensional... You know, straight ahead, and things are big and explodey, but you don't really have the heart there. There were elements of it, but not a lot. So I wanted to like it more, but the script kind of crumbles at the end. Didn't quite get there. There was a lot more to explore. I think it was an interesting character. they needed to develop her more at the beginning, too. They go from her time as a little girl and kind of growing up on the island and figuring out some of these things, but it's all that part is also it's rushed without being rushed.
Okay, Reader's Digest sort of version of the her origin story.
So it's fine. I mean, if you enjoy the character, you'll probably enjoy the movie. But I just really wanted more out of it.
All right.
I think Zack Snyder was deprived as a child and only was given crayon boxes with black, gray, and brown colors.
What else we got, Denny?
All right. It Comes at Night is a very subtle, quiet suspense film, more than a horror film. A plague has killed off pretty much everybody on Earth. We don't know any details. What we have are a family of three, of mother, father, and their son, living in an isolated cabin in the woods. They have managed to survive, taking precautions, wearing masks. And they stumble across another family, and they have to decide, do we take them in? Can we help them? Should we? Is this safe? And the rest of the film is about this internal conflict. Very dim lighting, very dark, a lot of stuff at night. Very good performances, I thought, very atmospheric. It reminded me of The Witch, came out about the 1600s, the family out isolated in the woods. The paranoia, the isolation, very similar, from the same distribution company, but different production people.
For Denny Lynch and Scott Christman, I'm Hollis Monroe on Jazz 88.3 KCCK.